the following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on October 11th, 2015.
Please join me in a moment of prayer. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, at some point in our lives, we may want to think about reflecting on what we would want to appear on our tombstone. What words would we choose as our epitaph? Those few words that would summarize who we are or what we believed in or what we accomplished. Mostly those words wind up being chosen by others, which surely was the case of one Arabella Young, whose tombstone in Massachusetts, a Massachusetts cemetery, contains these words. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May, 1771, began to hold her tongue. Only death silenced Arabella, who was apparently a motor mouth, a jabberjaw, and most of all, a gossip. While she's immortalized as such on her tombstone, there's not enough room on the tombstone for all the unindicted co-conspirators. Her good friends, who apparently provided her with a constant audience for all the tidbits of personal information that she wanted to share about others. A Washington Post article a couple of years ago told us that some people think that gossip has a role in society. Folklorists, it says, scientists and social psychologists agree, gossip is a means by which humans impart life lessons to one another. You gossip by telling something that you think is incredibly stupid that somebody else did, and then you're supposed to learn from that not to do it yourself. Now, on the other hand, other than scientists and social psychologists, ethicists and moralists fret over the concept of gossip as sin. Allow me today to do some fretting. We all know Arabella Young. She goes to our local middle school, where she comes home at the end of the day, gets on the phone, texts stories about yesterday's best friend to today's best friend, who may or may not be tomorrow's best friend. Arabella is both male and female, is a person who speculates about what another person's illness really must be, or a person who claims to know the real story behind someone else's promotion within the company and the office politics involved. But here's the catch. Remember, if you listen to Arabella gossip about somebody else, what makes you think she's not ever going to gossip about you? Arabella Young only held her tongue when she died. In the scripture lesson today, James wants us to get with the program a little bit sooner. He's given us a warning that we shouldn't wait until we die to figure this out. He wants to hold Christians to a higher standard of truthfulness and language. And I get the feeling that James was a little bit passionate when he wrote, "How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell, a restless evil full of deadly poison." You wonder if James himself had been the victim of some gossip. Or maybe he was referring to some slander that went about through the Roman Empire that claimed that Jesus was not born of the Virgin Mary, but that Jesus was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier who had had relations with Mary. Maybe James was steamed about how stories like that can get out. And as Mark Twain once said, a lie is halfway around the earth before the truth can even get its boots on. And how much more so now in today's culture. No one, James tells us, can tame the tongue except God. And so James appeals to his fellow Christians to put the tongue under God's control. He does that by issuing a couple of warnings. First, he reminds those early Christians and us that yes, that the tongue is small, but it has great power. Just like a small bit can control a large horse, a small rudder can control a great ship, and a small tongue can have a great impact. The words it communicates can build up, or they can destroy. Now, the story is told by Bill Moyers about Lyndon Baines Johnson before he was president. He was running in one of his congressional races for Congress. He gathered his staff together and told them, "I want you to spread a rumor about my opponent that he has unusual affections for young children." And a member of the staff objected, saying, boss, you know that's not true. We can't do that." To which LBJ replied, "Oh, I know it's not true, but I just want to hear my opponent stand up and deny it." The Christian role when confronted with disinformation is to point out the dangers of a loose tongue and call people to account. It may mean saying to your church friends, "You know, I'm really uncomfortable talking about Jane or John when he or she isn't here to defend him or herself." You might say, if you have a problem with so-and-so, maybe you should go directly to tell that person and talk to him or her about it. Don't tell me, and don't depend upon me to pass the word on. Or you might quote Jesus from Matthew 12. "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of the good stored up within, and the evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up within. But I tell you that people will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken." So it's not just James who's concerned, it's Jesus himself concerned about the words that we use to hurt and to diminish other people. When I received training in domestic violence counseling back in New Jersey, I was reminded of the truth that abusive behavior isn't just about hitting or striking someone else. Much violence is done with words. With words. And abusers use their words to demean, belittle, intimidate, and control the person they're in the relationship with. Verbal abuse is still abuse, and every bit is sinful and destructive. Jesus addresses this issue in Matthew chapter 5 in his comments on murder. "You've heard it said," Jesus said, "you've heard it said that it was said that to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire." If you insult a brother or a sister. The word that Jesus used was raca, R-A-C-A. William Barclay tells us that it's almost kind of untranslatable because it contains a tone of voice more than anything else. It's all about contempt. To call someone raca was to call them a brainless idiot, a silly fool, an empty-headed moron. Jesus says that to take that attitude opens you to judgment before the council. Jesus points out that if you say, "You fool," you'll be liable to the hell of fire. The word here is moros, which means fool, but in the sense of being a moral fool, not knowing the difference between right and wrong. To call someone moros, Jesus says, is to cast aspersions on that person's moral character, to take that person's name and that person's reputation away, and brand that person as loose living and as immoral. Jesus says that the one who destroys another name and reputation is liable to the severest judgment of all. In a book entitled Crisis, revealing the personal, social, and religious pain and trauma of growing up gay in America, 40 people shared their stories of pain and hurt as they dealt with society's attitudes toward them as gay persons. Now, the people who wrote in this book were white evangelicals, black Baptists, devout Mormons, Orthodox Jews, conservative Catholics, teenagers, older ministers, famous politicians, and two professional athletes. And despite their significant differences, every single person witnessed to the power of speech, in this case, the power of insult, to humiliate, subjugate, and inflict lasting damage on a fellow human being. That's how powerful our words can be. James would want us to look at our words at the end of each day. How have we used them? Can we be proud of them? James' letter is a lot like the book of Proverbs. It's full of wisdom sayings about how to lead a good and ultimately righteous life. We need to examine what we say. When it comes to words, have they built up or have they torn down? Have they contributed to community or have they broken up the community? Each one of us must look in the mirror at the end of the day and evaluate our own behavior. I know that I need to. I'm in a situation where some of you trust me with your deepest feelings and beliefs, problems that you might have in your life, decisions that you are making, conflicts that you're dealing with. I must keep that material. I have to keep that material, and I do keep that material in confidence, because that's truly a sacred trust. I must be careful that I don't use my words to share information that others have entrusted to me. And kind of a corollary to that is often when people wind up in the hospital, people will come to me and say, Mike, what's going on? What's happening with so-and-so? And I said, well, my policy is I can't really say, because that's theirs to share. And if they don't give me a clear go-ahead that it's okay for me to share what's going on, I'm not going to say anything about why they're in the hospital. That's their information to share. That's their information to share. In fact, there are laws, the HIPAA laws, that apply to people who work in hospitals about not sharing that kind of information loosely. Now, the story is told about a pastor and a deacon who went to visit a wealthy man to see if the man would make a donation to help a parishioner in need. The rich man said, well, who is this person in need? Let me know who it is and what I might do to help him. And the pastor said, well, you know, it's really not our policy to release the name of who it is that we're going to help. You know, it can be kind of hard to accept that kind of gift or that kind of charity. Well, said the rich man, I was going to give you $500, but if you tell me the other person's name, I'll increase it to $1,000. The pastor said, no, I can't reveal the name. $2,000. I will not break confidence, said the pastor. $3,000. The deacon who went with the pastor was beside himself at this point, and he pleaded with the pastor, Pastor, the money he wants to give will make such a difference. This man is honorable. He will keep a secret. The pastor walked to the door and said, I really should have left long ago. The honor of a person is not subject to negotiation. Now, before the pastor left, the rich man asked him to step into another room. And when they were alone, just the pastor and the man, the rich man broke into tears. He said, Pastor, recently I lost every penny I saved. I've wanted to go to someone for help, but I couldn't stand everyone in the city knowing my failure. That's why I asked you who the other person was, to see if you share that kind of information. And the pastor said, I understand. You were testing me to see if I could be trusted with your secret. I will keep your confidence, and I will seek funds for you as well. Arabella Young never learned the lesson James was passing on until she herself passed on. She could have used the advice a rabbi gave to a man in his congregation. The man came to the rabbi and said, "Why is it bad for me to gossip about my neighbor? What's wrong with that? Why is it bad for me to spread things around about one of my neighbors, especially if they're true?" The rabbi said, "I'll give you an answer, but first I have a job for you. What I want you to do is go gather a stack of feathers, and then go throughout the village and place a feather on the doorstep of each of the houses in the village, and then come back and see me." The man did as he was told, went out, took the feathers, put them on the doorsteps. He came back and he said, "Rabbi, I've done what you asked me to do. Now could you please tell me why it's bad to gossip?" And the rabbi said, "Oh, you know, what you really need to do is you need to go back now and collect all the feathers." And the man said, "Rabbi, that's impossible. How am I supposed to, they're going to be blown away. It's a windy day out there. They're going to be blown away." And the rabbi said, "Just so. Just so it is with gossip and lies about our neighbors. They can never be retrieved. They are like feathers in the wind. When it comes to how we use our tongues and the kinds of words that we speak, let me share something with you from the Reverend Tom Toole, who was the former pastor of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. I think he puts it best as to what words can do. He writes, "Words can affirm or they can alienate. They can build or they can belittle. They can comfort or they can criticize. Words can delight or words can destroy. Words can empower or they can entangle. Words can be faithful or they can be fickle. Words can be gracious or gratuitous. Words can be heroic or heretical. Words can express interest or indifference. They can be just or judgmental. Words can be kind or they can kill. Words can bring laughter, leadership, and learning, or they can be lugubrious, lethargic, or downright lewd. Words can mend or manipulate, nurture or neglect, and so on and so on and so on. Our words can help, but our words very, very much can hurt." The psalmist wrote, "Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord. You know it, O Lord." Think about that. Think about that. And so may the words of all of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Today's sermon was delivered by Michael O'Brien, interim pastor. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McNinch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2015 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.